You have your Bibles, you can open them to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Since we prayed the Lord's Prayer, I'm not going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Lord's Prayer. It is a prayer that you know by heart. And by now, you know that on this instance, Jesus gave the disciples this model prayer to be used when they pray, because it was requested by a disciple that Jesus teach his disciples how to pray. Our prayer begins as we address our Father who is in heaven. In that address, we acknowledge that God is our Father only through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He is near to us. We are His sons and daughters. He loves us, that we are the apple of His eye. But as we pray to our Father, we must also remember that He is our God, that He is in heaven. And so we think of His eminence when we pray our Father, and we think of His transcendence when we address Him as being in heaven. The first petition that we pray is that God's name would be glorified. The second petition is that His kingdom would come, that it would come in all its glory and in all its fullness, and that God's will would be done. That God's will would be done in all the earth, but particularly that God's will would be done by those who are His followers. And when we are talking about the will of God in that instance, we are talking about the revealed will of God, not the secret will of God. God has told us in His Word how He would have us to live, and we as His followers are to obey Him and walk as He has instructed us to walk. Now, the first petition that we come to in relationship to ourselves, in the things that we are to pray for, is the prayer for daily bread. We're going to look at that request under several headings, the first of which is the substance, or what we are to pray for. And that seems simple enough, doesn't it? We are to pray for bread. Well, what does Jesus mean when He says that we are to pray for our daily bread? The word bread caused some problems for our early church fathers because they couldn't believe that the first thing that Jesus would have us pray for in relationship to ourselves is something material, something tangible, that He would have us pray for literal bread. And so many of the early church fathers said that, well, this has to be spiritual bread. That when Jesus is telling us to pray for our daily bread, He is either encouraging us to pray for the bread of God's Word, or He is encouraging us to pray for that bread that we receive in the Lord's Supper. And we do recognize that the sacraments and the Word of God are means of grace. They are those things that God has given to us to encourage us, to comfort us, and to direct us. The Word of God and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper do feed us and do nourish us as we make right use of that. And so we would not ever want to say that we shouldn't pray for God's blessing upon His Word. either in the ministry of that word from the pulpit or as you read the Word of God yourself in your homes. It doesn't mean that we should not pray for that spiritual bread of the Lord's Supper to be of a great spiritual benefit to us. But I don't think that what Christ is speaking of here is spiritual bread. Now, in relationship to the early church fathers spiritualizing or allegorizing the word bread, you might be interested to know that John Calvin said that that was exceedingly absurd. In other words, John was saying, I don't agree that what Jesus is telling us to pray for there is spiritual bread. Either the bread of the Word of God or the bread of the Lord's table. Martin Luther, another reformer, the one who kind of got the whole thing going in earnest, said this, that bread is a symbol for, and I quote, everything necessary for the preservation of this life, like food, a healthy body, good weather, a house, a home, a wife, children, good government, and peace. So the basic meaning of bread is that it refers to all the needs of this present life. Everything that we might need for comfort in this life, for the preservation of our life, for blessing in this life, and for enjoyment in this life, we are to pray for. So the substance of our prayer, what we are praying for, is that God would grant us these material blessings. Secondly, we are to pray for what is sufficient. We are to ask God for our daily bread, or our bread day by day. Now, what we are to pray for in relationship to our material needs are not our wants, not a Mercedes-Benz to drive, and not a $1 million home to live in, not enough so that we can eat at Ruth Chris Steakhouse every evening, which I understand is extremely expensive and prohibits us from going there. We're not to pray for those kind of things. We are to pray that God would meet our basic needs. Our needs and not our wants should be our focus. And we are to pray that each day God would grant to us that which is necessary to sustain our lives. That each day that God would give us health for that day. That each day God would give us enough food to eat to sustain our lives for that day. That each day God would bless us with a comfortable place in which to live and a comfortable bed in which to lie down in at night. We are to pray for a car that will get us back and forth to work and to worship. We are to pray for our daily needs. And having prayed for our daily needs, and this is key, we are to be satisfied with what God chooses to give us. God may not give us a Mercedes-Benz to drive. It might be a 20-year-old Toyota or Honda. I don't think Fords and Chevys last that long anymore. Some do. Most don't. But if God gives us that for that day, we're to be content. If God grants to us enough food to eat for that day, even though it may not be a steak, we need to be content with what God has provided us to eat. God tells us that we are to pray for our daily bread. And then we are to be satisfied. We are to be content with what God chooses to give us each and every day. We went through 1 Timothy a while back, but you might remember these verses from chapter 6. Paul writes this: "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." In other words, all the things that we accumulate are going to be left behind. Each and every one of them. And having food and clothing, Paul says, with these we shall be content. Those who call upon God for their daily necessities must be content with what He chooses to give. And oftentimes, is it not where the rub comes in? We have a difficult time being content. And I think that's true especially in our society. Because as we look around, we see so much affluence and so much prosperity. We see Christian people who are very prosperous and very affluent, and we see non-Christian people that are even more prosperous and even more affluent. And we get jealous. We wish that we had the things that they have. We wish that we had hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars in our bank accounts. Wouldn't you like that? I would like that. I think that would be a marvelous thing. But God has not chosen to bless me in that way. And it's likely that He hasn't chosen you to bless you in that way. But let me ask you this. Have you ever wanted for something to eat? Have you ever wanted for a place to go home to? Have you ever wanted for a bed, for a pallet to sleep on? Have you ever really wanted for any of the necessities of life? I think back to the early years of my childhood. And thank God for those years. We didn't have much. We lived in a 4-room house. We had no indoor bathroom. And yes, believe it or not, the first 12 years of my life, I had to use an outhouse. I didn't bathe in a bathtub. I wiped myself off in a sink. When my mom washed my hair, I laid up on the counter with my head in the sink, and that's the way she washed my hair. A big night out for us was going to the A&W root beer stand. And we were only able to do that when Dad worked a lot of overtime. We had one car, not two. And it was used, very used. But it got Dad back and forth to work and got us where we needed to go. As I look back on those days, I don't ever remember lacking anything that I truly needed. Everything was there. Not in abundance, and sometimes we didn't know if it would be there the next day. But we never wanted for anything. And I think if we look back on our lives, all of us here today can probably say that the same is true. From the time we were born until this present day, we have never lacked for the necessities of life. So we are to be satisfied with what God has chosen to give us. So we've looked at the substance, what we are to pray for. We have noted the satisfaction that is to be ours as God gives us what is sufficient for the day. And thirdly, we are reminded when we pray this prayer that God is the source of our provision. When we pray this petition, we are acknowledging that God is the one who is the supplier, who is the provider, who is the source of all that we truly need. Now I say that, even though you know that, because we have a tendency to take what God gives us for granted, and not giving thanks to the one who has blessed us so richly. We have a tendency to be grateful for the secondary causes of our well-being. We are thankful to doctors when our health has not been good and we take medicine or get a shot or get some treatment and our health is restored and we thank the doctor and we forget to thank God who is the source of our healing. And we forget that without God's blessing, even the best of medicines and the best of treatments would be futile. We have a tendency to thank our employer for their kindness in providing for us a job at which we can earn a living and pay our bills and buy our food and put gas in the car. But we forget that God is the one who has provided that employment for us. That's why we pray, particularly for the men in this church that have families, that God would bless them with gainful employment. God is the one who is behind all the means that we have at our disposals and by which He blesses us. But we must never forget what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says this: every good thing bestowed and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. James 1 verse 17. And we must never forget this question that Paul asked the believers in Corinth. What you have that you did not receive? And the answer is nothing. Without the blessing of God, all our hard work, all our effort would come to nothing. Everything we have is from Him. If we lived in an agrarian society, which we don't anymore, we would want to remember that God is the one who gave the seed that we plant. That God is the one who sends the rain to water the seed. That God is the one who puts minerals into the soil that nourishes the seed. It was God who created the animals that we use for food and for clothing. It was God who created man with the intelligence and the ability to make machines now that farmers use to prepare the soil, to plant the seed, and to harvest the crops. But behind it all is God. He is the source from whom all our blessings flow. And we would do well to remember that as we pray. And we do acknowledge that when we pray for our daily bread. The psalmist wrote, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." You ladies might remember that is from Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16. God is the one who provides it all. And God wants us to remember that He is the source of our blessings. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to read some verses to you in relationship to the blessing of God upon His people, His old covenant people. They're preparing to go into the promised land. And what did God tell them would be true about the promised land? That it would be a land flowing with milk and honey. Now listen to what God says in Deuteronomy 8, beginning of verse 11. "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land, where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, 'My power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth.' And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as to this day." You hear that? God tells His old covenant people that when they do well and prosper, when their needs are met, that they don't take credit to themselves. themselves, but that they give thanks to the one who is the source of all those blessings. And oh, by the way, did you notice that God reminded them of the manna that He fed them in the wilderness? Let me ask you this. When God rained down the manna from heaven, how much were they to gather for their families? You remember? Only enough for what? For the day. And on the sixth day, in preparation for the Sabbath, in which they were not to do any work, God said on that day, take double. Take enough for Friday and enough for Saturday. But God limited them to only taking enough to supply their daily need for food. Were they satisfied? Absolutely not. They got tired of the manna. They complained. They remembered how glorious the food was back in Egypt. And they blamed Moses for taking them out in the wilderness. Well, they just had that old nasty manna to eat day after day. And they grumbled. And they were anything but content. But God had been faithful, had He not, to provide for them their daily bread. So we must not only be content with what God chooses to give, we must also give Him thanks that He has met our needs and has been faithful to do so. The supplication is, give us this day. Now the word give is not a command. We are not commanding that God give us what we need. We are supplicating God. We are asking Him to give us our daily bread. John MacArthur wrote this: the supplication give reflects a childlike trust in the Father's care. The basis for asking for life's necessities is the confidence that God will provide for His children. End of quote. Do you have that confidence? Or do you not pray because you're not confident that God will provide you with your daily needs? David declared, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. Earlier in Psalm 37, the psalm that I just quoted from, that was verse 25, by the way, David wrote this: the Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their inheritance will be forever. They will not be ashamed in the time of evil, and in the day of famine they will have an abundance. In Psalm 33, verses 18 and 19, the psalmist added, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope for His loving kindness to deliver their soul from death and to keep them in famine. Proverbs 10:3 echoes that truth, promising that the Lord will not allow the righteous to hunger. God really cares about you. And God not only cares about your soul, God also cares about your body. And God blesses us again and again. Even when we don't pray for our daily bread, God continues to be faithful to provide us the things that we truly need. And do we pray? Do we ask that God would be faithful in meeting our needs? When He meets our needs, before we go to bed at night, do we thank Him for His daily goodness? Do we thank Him for His material blessings? Yes, we want to thank Him for those spiritual blessings which are ours in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But let's not be those who forget God, who is the source of all our blessings, both spiritual and material. And let us be content with what God chooses to give to us that sustains us and enables us to live life. I think you probably know this, and maybe it doesn't need to be said, but when we pray for our daily bread, God is not saying to us that we can dispense with work. We don't have to do anything but pray. Again, that's not what Jesus is teaching us. You just pray for your daily bread and sit in your lazy boy at home and just don't worry about it. Don't have to do anything. Watch TV all day. No. Listen to the Apostle Paul's words in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10 and 12 through 12. He says, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread." God uses means to feed us. God uses means to care for us. God uses secondary causes, but let us never forget that God is the first cause and God is the source of all our blessings. So pray, pray confidently, pray boldly, pray expectantly to your Heavenly Father that He would bless you daily with what is sufficient for the day. And when it comes to those things that are spiritual, do pray that God would give you the grace that is sufficient for that day. You do remember the Apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times that thorn would be removed. And God said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient." Strength is, can't remember how it goes. Grace is sufficient for you. Strength is perfected in weakness. And Paul said, "I'll glory then in my weakness." But God said to Paul in relationship to his thorn, "Thorn ain't going away, Paul. But my grace will be with you, and my grace is sufficient." So when you pray for your daily bread, remember to pray for daily grace, that you might live as becometh a follower of Christ and bring glory to Him as you see His kingdom extended in your life and in the world. Let us pray. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we take so much for granted. And we confess that we do take our material blessings for granted. We fail to pray for them. We pray to give you thanks when you have provided so lavishly for us. We fail to remember that you are the source from whom our blessings flow, both those that are spiritual and those that are material. We pray that you would forgive us and that you would remind us through this prayer that Jesus taught the disciples, that we should pray for our daily bread, that we should remember the one who is the source of that bread, that we should be thankful and content with what you have chosen to give us, because it will be sufficient. Father, you are so good and so kind and have blessed us so richly. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.